It's time for Insure Talk with insurance industry tech geek and Guidewire chief evangelist, Laura Drabik. In this podcast series, we don't just talk about innovative ideas in P&C insurance. We talk with industry trailblazers about the big ideas they made happen and how they did it. If you're looking for insights on the trends and technologies reshaping the industry, an all-new Insure Talk starts now.
Welcome to Insure Talk. My name is Laura Drabik, and I'm the chief evangelist at Guidewire. In this episode, I have the privilege of interviewing Martin J. Welch, CEO of Hawaii Employers Mutual Insurance Company, or HEMIC, a Honolulu-based commercial lines carrier that ranks as Hawaii's top workers' compensation insurer, serving more than 6,600 businesses and 75,000 workers across the islands. Marty is a seasoned industry executive with decades of leadership experience at organizations such as Wasa Insurance, Employers, and for the last dozen years, HEMIC, where he is currently spearheading a strategic cloud migration. And that is the focus of our conversation today, HEMIC's journey to harnessing the cloud. Along the way, we'll discuss HEMIC's origins, the nuances of doing business in Hawaii, and the importance of commercial lines innovation in today's evolving insurance marketplace. We'll also talk about some of the coverage challenges ahead for a business community still reeling from the devastating Lahaina fire and the evolving impacts of climate change. Aloha, Marty. Welcome to Insure Talk.
Thanks, Laura.
We'd be remiss not to express our condolences to your entire state for the tragedy on Maui last summer.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We are so grateful for the outpouring of support all of us in Hawaii have received since August 8th. You know what people don't realize? In Hawaii, you're really 2 degrees from anybody. We talk about being 6 degrees from anybody in the world, or at least 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, right? But in Hawaii, if I don't know somebody, chances are I know somebody that knows that person. And that's what makes an event like the Maui fire so personal.
Yeah.
So our employees were all safe and their homes were fine. We had one employee whose spouse lost her entire business, and her secretary and 2 children perished. So It's only a degree or so away. And we all have those stories. That's what really makes it real and personal for us. So I've been personally touched by the outreach I've received from business partners and friends from all over the world asking how they can help. So let me plug the Hawaii Community Foundation Maui Strong Fund, which can still use everyone's support.
So just to reiterate, everyone, that's Maui Strong, and they could certainly use our support. Obviously, the hospitality industry is a major employer statewide and certainly in Maui. Resorts, retailers, restaurants, and I mean, any other establishment. Marty, what's your sense of the recovery among HEMIC's customers and their workers?
Well, first of all, yes, indeed, services and entertainment represent about 1/3 of HEMIC's business. Annually, our state welcomes about 10 million visitors who spend close to $20 billion while they are here. And that in turn supports over 200,000 local jobs and provides nearly $2 billion in state tax revenue. And frankly, we were just recovering from our COVID era economic contraction when the Maui fires occurred. For those displaced businesses in Lahaina, their recovery will be slow. And many of those employees will likely need to find work in other parts of the island, as well as have an opportunity to be part of the recovery and rebuilding effort of that area. HEMIC is working closely with our agents to provide insurance coverage as businesses recover or as new businesses are formed.
Wow, those are incredible statistics and eye-widening for me. 10 million visitors per year, they spend $20 billion, and then that generates $2 billion in state revenue. Thanks for sharing that and also your dedication to your community. HEMIC prides itself on the fact that it's not your typical insurance company, and it isn't. It was founded in 1996 thanks to state legislation designed to help stabilize the market and ensure that all Hawaii businesses could secure workers' compensation insurance. Marty, what precipitated this crisis? And how does HEMIC address it?
Well, we were not formed to produce profits for shareholders, nor to represent a monolithic government program. We were formed as a private mutual company to represent the interests of our policyholders and their legal obligation to provide workers' compensation insurance to their employees. The crisis of the mid-1990s was one where premium rates and claim costs were outrunning both employers' ability to afford work comp insurance and insurance companies' market capacity. The creation of HEMIC as a guaranteed provider of workers' comp resulted in a more viable marketplace where all insurance companies today must compete on price and service quality for the benefit of local businesses and consumers. HEMIC's goal has since been to be the workers' compensation market of choice for Hawaii business owners. And today we are the state's largest writer of workers' comp insurance.
So beyond its roots in workers' compensation, HMIC has expanded to help businesses with additional insurance needs like temporary disability insurance and other lines of business, as well as providing TPA services to self-insured entities and captive insurers.
Yes, understand that HMIC's obligation is to be financially strong enough to keep our promises to our policyholders forever. So we realized early on that being a one-line, one-state writer of workers' compensation insurance, sitting out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, presented significant risk to keeping those financial promises. So we have thoughtfully and deliberately engaged in diversifying our business in a manner that stays true to our legislative purpose and supports those changing and expanding needs of our customers.
Okay, that all makes sense. So how about you paint a picture for us of the Hawaii commercial market, and what are the unique contours that make it different from serving businesses on the mainland?
Well, I think most importantly, Hawaii is a very small market where business and customer relationships are more than merely transactional. We are all members of a close-knit community. And even as our world becomes smaller via internet commerce and social media, doing business with a neighbor is still important here. While people in Hawaii can certainly buy insurance electronically from a mainland carrier if they choose to, and they can have their claim adjusted from 5,000 miles away by someone they do not know, we all know that when disaster strikes, mostly what we have here is each other.
Yeah, excellent point, Marty. I couldn't agree with you more, having visited the island regularly over the last 20 years, and the importance of neighbors and purchasing local. And you're spot on. It is your family. What happens to your neighbor happens to you. At the biggest compliment, Marty, the other day, our neighbor called me sister. So instead of Laura, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. We do that. Yeah. And, you know, auntie and uncle all the time to the kids here, right? So think about the words, we share an island. The emphasis is on the we. It's on the share. And this is an island. And that kind of sums up the way you have to live.
Yeah. So HMIC first went live with an on-premise implementation of Guidewire Insurance Suite back in 2016. Just to jog your memory here, you tackled policy administration, rating, billing, claims, as well as portals for agents and policyholders. After achieving so much, why would you take on another transformation, this time to Guidewire Cloud?
Wow, hearing you recount all those things we did to transform our business, we must have been out of our minds to do that all at once. Well, and I felt like I had to convince my board we weren't out of our minds to try to do that all at once, because a lot of others around us have been doing it one suite at a time or whatever. And we just, as I like to say, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and, you know, get on with it here, right? Seriously, our effort 6 years ago to dive headfirst into the Guidewire system was in keeping with our corporate strategy to drive innovation through digital capabilities that would support all facets of our growing and diversifying business. So when we faced the next critical milestone of upgrading to Guidewire version 10, it was clearly in our best interest to also migrate to Guidewire Cloud, leveraging the platform, technology, and architecture to expand digital and automated functionality for our employees and to enhance their service delivery to our policyholders. Today, with our upgrade stabilized and effectively supporting our business, HMIC is looking forward to leveraging enhancements to portals for agents and policyholders to improve user experience, convenience, and service. While that is not an easy lift, it is easier through the utilization of a cloud platform. And one more benefit, HMIC's transition to the cloud has also launched a consolidated data strategy to further position us for better analytically driven decisions so that we can be responsive partners to our agents and policyholders.
That is a really great benefit to call out, the consolidated data strategy via cloud. Thanks for doing that. Awesome. Great information. When we come back after this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Marty Welch, CEO of Hawaii Employers Mutual Insurance Company.
Digging InsureTalk with Laura Drabik? Be sure to subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're at it, rate the show on Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing. Now, let's get back to the show.
And welcome back to InsureTalk. This is Laura Drabik, and I'm talking to Marty Welch, CEO of HMIC. HMIC officially went live with its Guidewire Cloud implementation of Insurance Suite back on May 8th. So a big congratulations on that.
Thank you.
When I ask insurers about the impetus for embarking on a cloud strategy, I often hear that growth is a strategic imperative for investing in a modern cloud platform. Innovation is another. And Marty, you addressed that a little earlier. What can you share with us about Hemic's strategic imperatives for moving to Guidewire Cloud?
Well, our growth strategy is to expand and strengthen the Hemic family of companies. As I mentioned earlier, we are working on diversifying our products and services to Hawaii business owners and positioning Hemic as a one-stop shop for small businesses. Moving to Guidewire's cloud platform enables us to begin standardizing tool sets across all entities, as well as align programs to bundle insurance products to better serve our customers. Our growth strategy also focuses on driving innovation and modernization across and throughout our businesses. Guidewire's cloud platform enables us to utilize digital features and functionality that will improve the online experience for our agents and policyholders, while also continuing to allow us to transmit information and updates electronically to third parties to ensure accuracy with reporting and compliance. The Guidewire cloud platform has reinforced Hemic's position as an early adopter of electronic submission of workers' compensation data to the State Department of Labor and Industrial Relations. This enhances claims processing, accuracy, and reporting.
Cloud migration, as you know, really isn't for the faint of heart. I mean, it's a profound transformation of your company's technology and, of course, their talent. Marty, how did you ensure you had the right people in place to support your transition to the cloud? And what role did your Aloha culture play in this migration?
Well, prior to the decision to migrate to the cloud, we developed a strategy to manage the transformation by expanding project management and business analysis support within our organization. We also worked to select development partners that understood Guidewire cloud architecture and the required implementation methodology. We also executed a training program for all of our department subject matter experts and IT staff, including supporting 19 of our employees through the Guidewire SurePath certification program to prepare for the transition. That is 15% of all Hemic employees, by the way. Finally, we chose to partner with Guidewire Professional Services as our primary system integration partner. You know, our Aloha culture is more about who we are than what we do. We establish trusting relationships with each of our external resources, welcoming them onto a team throughout a true partnership. This enabled all parties to successfully navigate through key decisions throughout the project and make the necessary adjustments or course corrections to meet the May 8, 2023 go live date. Additionally, communication of progress was delivered often and at various levels within the Hemic organization to ensure that we were ready for the cloud launch, and we prepared our agent and policyholder community well for the transition.
Any lessons learned that you can share with us?
I think a huge lesson learned was the importance of not only assembling a capable and high-powered team, but then trusting them to complete the project in the best way possible for the organization. When we got to the go, no-go decision the night before launch, it was clear that we were not ready. The most important thing in that moment was allowing the team to make the decision to delay, work through the issues, and ultimately launch one day later. For me to demand that we launch on schedule just to achieve some arbitrary deadline that I could hold up to our board would have been a huge tactical error. I have never been prouder of our team than watching them deal with the realities of that moment and then succeeding.
Yeah, that's a really great lesson learned. Thank you for sharing. I'm not sure how many others would be so confident to trust their team and then delay a day. Thanks again for sharing. How will you ultimately measure the success of your cloud migration?
Well, following our go live in May, our agents and policyholders were able to submit transactions to us with little or no interruption in service. Looking at our metrics following our go live, the number of defects was amazingly low. So the system was a success from the beginning. But going forward, the success of our cloud migration will be measured through our agility and capacity to deliver expansive capabilities across the Hemic family of companies, realizing data-driven, straight-through processing gains across multiple departments to ultimately service our agents and policyholders faster, more effectively, and with less expense. We will measure these gains through Hemic's top-line growth and scalability while lowering our costs per policyholder or per unit of exposure.
Looking back now, what advice would you give to others who may be about to take this cloud journey?
Wear a helmet. Seriously, these projects are huge lifts, and you need to be confident going in that you're well prepared and up to the task. I think my team would suggest documenting the current state and future state of all of your system integrations. You need to completely understand what you are moving from and where you are moving to. Also, identify any readiness activities that could be completed prior to the cloud transition launch. For example, for us, it was having an identity provider in place that met standards for portals. That would be customer customer engage and portal engage. And maybe most importantly, you need to have a tolerance to fail as part of that process, with room to address failure along the way and leverage your partnerships to resolve those issues. You can't win the game without calling a few audibles.
Yeah, that's really great advice. A tolerance to fail. Might I ask, is that a principle that you apply across all projects, or was it specific just to this one?
This was the initial project we decided we need to do that on, and it's now being integrated across the rest of the projects in the organization. That was just too big a lift to not know that there's going to be some bumps in the road.
Great. Thanks, Marty. On the other side of this break, we'll continue the conversation, so don't go anywhere.
Loving InsureTalk with Laura Drabik? For more expert insights and inspiration, subscribe to Laura's email newsletter at drabikdigest.com, your one-stop resource for Laura's latest blog posts, videos, podcasts, articles, and more. That's www.drabikdigest.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to InsureTalk with Laura Drabik. We're talking with Marty Welch. So we mentioned Hemek's Aloha culture a little bit earlier in the show. And in the aftermath of this summer's wildfires on Maui and on the Big Island, Guidewire and Hemek teamed up to raise funds to bring much needed food, shelter, and supplies to local communities through coordination from the Red Cross, Salvation Army, and Hawaii Community Foundation. What was it like for Hemek to respond to such an unprecedented crisis? Marty, can you bring us to the moment and describe what it was like for you and your team, serving not just your customers, but the community as a whole?
Well, first of all, let me say, Laura, we really appreciate Guidewire's true partnership with us by stepping up to help with our state's disaster relief effort. You know, after a project is completed, not everyone would feel compelled to do that. But in addition to Guidewire, businesses and organizations across our state banded together, providing aid, relief, resources, and support for the Maui community. And in addition to the many organizations you mentioned, Laura, Hemek's nonprofit foundation also stood up an initial $10,000 donation, as well as matched an additional $10,000 in personal donations from our own employees. As far as how we responded to this disaster, I think as with any such catastrophic event, your first concern is not your business. It is the safety of our families and our community members. My first question internally was, are our Maui employees safe? Thankfully, they were, though certainly their lives were impacted for many weeks by the resulting power and water shortages, supply chain interruptions, etc. But they very quickly began to offer their help to those in need.
Wow. What an incredible story. It just makes me so proud to have you as a customer. Thanks for sharing that. Let's continue on that vein, though. How did it draw from and reinforce your Aloha culture?
You know, Laura, I'm sure when people outside Hawaii think about our Aloha culture, or they hear the phrase, the spirit of Aloha, they mostly imagine it as a means of treating others in the name of friendliness and helpfulness. But it's really much more than that. It embodies our very existence here. You see, living on an island brings with it responsibilities. We refer to it as our kuleana. What living on an island really means is what happens to you happens to me. On the mainland, when a hurricane is bearing down on the coastline, people can jump in their cars and drive 100 miles inland to wait out the storm. We can't do that. After 20 miles, we would just find ourselves back on a shoreline on the other side of the island. All we really have here is each other. So that means that we will survive a disaster together, we will care for one another together, we will recover together, and we will rebuild together. That is simply what we do.
Perhaps on the mainland, maybe we should adopt that mentality, which is all we have is each other. It certainly would, I think, proactively reinforce us helping each other during these extreme weather events. In some ways, this was a black swan event. I mean, wildfires kicked off and fueled by winds from a hurricane 500 miles away, but it's part and parcel, Marty, with the other impacts of climate change. The United States suffered $23 billion disasters in 2023. For Hawaii, it was the tundra dry foliage and wind last summer, but rising sea levels and the increasing frequency and severity of tropical storms and hurricanes, they're only going to grow as risk factors. So what are three things you think commercial lines insurers can do to best meet the needs of businesses, workers, and residents in Hawaii and elsewhere amid a changing world?
I have to tell you, Laura, I really appreciate this question. You know, in addition to my day job at Hemmick. I also have the privilege of serving on the Board of Governors for the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, whose insurance company members represent about two-thirds of the property casualty premium written in the United States. It needs to be a top priority for insurance companies to help policyholders better manage their risk from natural disasters and severe weather-related damage, and to better help them recover should disaster strike. We got to mitigate and become more resilient. It's not just about wringing our hands over fossil fuels and climate change and so forth. This stuff's going to continue to happen. So what do we do? How do you rebuild and how do you plan? That's the hardest part. That front street in Lahaina that everybody loved and was just this quaint place, and we ought to rebuild it. It ought to look like it did before, but it can't be rickety old wooden buildings that are going to burn again. It's got to be stuff that looks but isn't 150 years old. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to push it 50 meters further back from the water and another 10 meters higher. But again, it's who makes those decisions? How do you sit down and do that when those are individual property owners that are there? So anyway, it's a challenge. And I know the folks in Paradise, California went through the same thing. And believe it or not, some people from Paradise showed up in Maui to help. And they were there as much for moral support, and they'd been through it. But one of them said, and I was talking to one of my customer CEOs who was involved in a lot of relief effort there. And she said, this person from Paradise said, on that day in 2018, we evacuated 26,000 people from Paradise. Only 9,000 have returned 5 years later. And that's a statement on what we're facing in the rebuild. For high-risk communities like Hawaii, pre-disaster mitigation and hardening of existing structures is essential and needs to be prioritized. As more homes and businesses are built or retrofitted with disaster mitigating design and materials, this should result in a meaningful decrease in losses, which should translate to more available and affordable insurance coverage for consumers. Additionally, all levels of government, property development, and the land use policies should consider whether their actions increase or reduce risk exposure for people, property, and commerce. And insurance companies should be at the table during those discussions. Bringing this all back to Hemmick, while most natural disasters do not directly result in huge workers' compensation losses, they can severely hamper, if not wipe out, a meaningful segment of our customer base. This was the case in Maui, where Hemmick insured 108 businesses located in the fire zone, all of which were lost. You don't need to be a property insurer to want to protect individuals and businesses from severe weather-related damage.
So, Marty, you said something really important about prevention and being proactive. When we think about the miracle of Maui or the one home that still stood in Lahaina, it had taken preventative measures, including removing brush from around the home. It also had its roof, I believe a steel roof. I mean, is that a good example of what you're proposing here?
Absolutely. And I think another one was on the East Coast when that hurricane came through shore and that one house stood there while everything around it was totally leveled. And it had been built with more concrete, deeper piles, steel, things that could withstand that kind of a storm. And I think those are lessons for us to look at as we face these increasingly severe weather-related events.
Yeah, another great example. Thanks for sharing that. And I have one last question for you. So you weren't always the island hopper that you are now. You attended the University of Illinois and your early career was spent at WASA and employers. So what lured you to the islands and what has made it most feel like home these last dozen years?
Well, you're the first person to refer to me as an island hopper. So I will take that to heart and appreciate it. But truth be told, Hemmick lured me to the islands. My predecessor, Bob Dove, who was Hemmick's founding CEO, had built this company from nothing and after 15 years at the helm was ready to retire. Somehow my name ended up on the short list of potential successors, and in the process of evaluating the opportunity, I discerned very quickly what a special place and special company this was. My wife Jennifer and I were at a perfect stage in our lives with our three sons all grown and, as I like to say, off the payroll. So we looked at each other and asked, "So do you want to move to Honolulu?" "Yeah." Now we've lived here longer than we've lived anywhere. And I probably don't even have to say this. It is the people that make this place feel like home. We have made many friends here. We are involved in the community well beyond the world of insurance. We care deeply what happens in this place. We travel to the mainland frequently for business and insurance and industry meetings, as well as to visit our children and grandchildren. But we always look forward to our airplane touching back down in Honolulu. At that moment, we are home.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And I had to get a giggle out of the off the payroll. My daughter's only 11, so I have many years till she's off the payroll. Marty, thank you so much for your time today and for your incredible insight. You've shown us it's not just about ideas, it's about making ideas happen.
Laura, thank you for having me. Much aloha.
Tune in next time for an all-new episode of Insure Talk with Laura Drabik, brought to you by Guidewire, the platform PNC insurers trust to engage, innovate, and grow efficiently. For more information, visit guidewire.com.